I'm chair of the representative body for smaller institutions, Guild HE, and we think it's rather regrettable that the review and the report of that's outcome from the review has been inextricably linked with funding cuts, rather than thinking about how we create and sustain a world-class HE system in the United Kingdom.
Do you think that a general regime of this kind, rather than a graduate tax, for example, is the way forward? We might argue about money, whether the cap should go entirely, whether there should be limits. But do you think that this formula is the way forward, or would you prefer something completely different?
Well, from an institutional perspective, what's happening is that there is now a substitution between, I mean, what the balance of what's being paid privately by students and employers has flipped, so that we receive less public funding. And what's happened is that the outcome of the review has now been coupled with cuts for certain subjects, so a decline and perhaps removal of public funding for certain subjects in higher education. So from an institutional perspective, the formula is one which is going to create a sector which has, I think, the differential ability to provide a quality experience for our students.
Johnny Rich, from the students' points of view, who, people who go on push.co.uk, for example, I mean, they don't like student loans. What are they going to make of this?
Well, new students starting this term are likely to graduate with £25,000 of debt already. And I've heard reported that the Brown Report is going to make it £30,000 maximum debt to student loans. Now, student loans at the moment don't make up the £25,000. There's a lot of debt that people are incurring to other people, such as banks, such as credit cards, such as even parents sometimes are lending money. And it looks as though the cost over a number of years of a degree under the new regime may be as much as £51,000.
Well, under this student finance plan, which is what it's going to be called, I mean, I think the calculation is really rather less than that. It's somewhere in the 30s, 30 to 40,000 is the view. And it's linked to income. There's no fixed mortgage-style payments. So like the graduate tax that some people support, it says payments stop when costs of learning and living are paid back, or after 30 years, whichever comes sooner.
Yes, there are also, I believe I'm right in saying, suggestions that there'll be a much higher rate of interest as well.
Well, it'll be real interest rates, not as with a student loan company. I mean, Ruth Farwell, do you think that is a reasonable way forward or not?
I think there were difficulties around the graduate tax, around whether the money would find its way back into the higher education system, and that was a problem there. I think there are difficulties in what's being proposed for graduates, and it may well be that there's a squeeze in the middle, so that those who are earning quite considerably after graduation are able to pay back more quickly and therefore pay less in interest than those who are not able to do that because they're not earning as much.
One of the points, Johnny Rich, about this plan is that it is meant to put more money into universities to stop the famous 1 billion black hole opening up in a couple of years' time. Now, will it or will it not produce a better experience at universities?
Well, not for the students who are put off. And we already see quite a lot of students who are put off going to university at the current levels. And, you know, everybody knows that you put the price of something up, you put some people off buying it. And so there may be a situation where we are reaching a point where a lot of the people who this is designed to help are going to be put off by the sheer complexity of it and by the big numbers at the end, never mind the actual numbers they may face.
Well,